You're out of control, Jack. 2:30
return every day.
Really?
No, I got no idea.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. So,
This might be the worst thing you guys have ever introduced to me.
So, Jack texted me the other night, because Jack knows that I'm a TikToksman, right? And he's like, have you seen the Costco guys? I was like, yes, I've seen the Costco guys. I'm a TikTok guy. I see them all the time. They're terrible, but you can't turn them off.
Oh, by the way, he said, and yes, I do have a strong opinion on them.
Yes, of course. Well, everyone has a strong opinion on the Costco guys, but I don't think anybody is a big fan of AJ and Big Justice.
No.
But I do like Big Justice.
You do. You like
AJ's an issue.
Yeah.
AJ's a problem.
So you're a chicken bake guy over a double chunk chocolate cookie.
It's the
guy.
Way he says double chunk chocolate cookie.
Double chocolate cookie.
The laugh, dude. The laugh is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like the stuff of nightmares.
He used to be a
fake wrestler. Yeah,
pro wrestler.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. First thing I thought of.
Well, the thing about Jack is his initial text was, I hate these guys so much, and here we are, 5 or 6 days later, every day he's talking to me about AJ and Big Justice, and now... That's what we do. We bring
the ball. Now you push this on our listening audience.
Yeah.
Now they have to go check it out.
The guy can't stop.
And they got to be subjected to this like I was.
Because it just jacks up your algorithm, too. All you're going to see for the next is all...
I got out of there.
You did?
I got out in time. Although, listen, I watched it for like 15, 20 minutes straight, though.
Well, now what I get is...
That's a lot of Big Justice and AJ content.
I get a lot of old AJ and Big Justice content now of when they were trying to go viral like 8 years ago. So now I get people that found the old content in my feed as well. It's Jack's fault.
Yeah.
We can't be playing the boom song every day. We didn't even have a meeting about this.
Believe me, if I could do it at 3:15 like they say, a quarter past 3, I would. But I don't have that. We're not breaking at that point.
You're a mega fan of AJ and Big Justice.
I might be.
Yeah. So Nick Sirianni, he is recognized, we've all talked about it a bunch, that his sideline demeanor, even maybe his practice demeanor, mm-hmm. his demeanor with fans, just maybe getting a little too Delco every once in a while, getting a little too jacked up, is a problem for some of the players, certainly a problem for Jalen, and is not what they need out of him. But it's a big change in his personality. And he talked today about how he has sort of attacked that change.
You know, one thing that I read when I was reading a leadership book this off season was, if you want everyone around you to have accountability and you want yourself to have accountability, then you know, you fussing at the refs is not, it's almost like, hey, this happened, so I'm going to blame that. Right. And so when I read that, I was like, yeah, that hit me like some sort of way.
Now, first of all, good on Nick Sirianni and taking the steps during the offseason to figure out a way to not be such a temperamental, you know, baby or whatever. But the big question is, do we really think that Nick Sirianni read a book this offseason?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Jack, do you think Nick Sirianni read a whole book?
Half the book.
Okay. All right.
I haven't finished a book in a while.
Yeah, well, like, you're not a good person to ask. Well, Could you even imagine somebody reading a book, a whole book?
Can I imagine?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
And all these frauds that listen to it, that doesn't count either.
It does count.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no, it does count. That's today's age.
It's a podcast.
It's not a podcast.
Whatever. I'm just saying, that's what people do nowadays, man.
It's not a podcast.
And you got to get some ink under the nails, too. Like, miss me with the Kindle.
Jack asked today.
Some ink under the nails.
Jack asked us if we thought the book that he read was The Art of War.
I would have been more impressed.
Yeah.
Oh, did Nick went and read the book, The Art of War?
Yeah.
No, Nick, I don't think so.
Probably not. No. I do like the idea, though, that if you're blaming the ref, you are saying that you are not responsible for what went wrong. And I think it's a good example to set, really, for the other players for everybody about what is... Look, he has to work the refs a little bit, but turning it into the reason, I think, does sort of skirt the accountability of who's... Like when we talked about Nick Nurse, not calling that timeout or calling the timeout.
Yes.
And it was actually a listener, this guy Dana, who is a referee, and he was like, if Nick Nurse wanted the timeout, he could have gotten the timeout.
Yep.
And I was like, you're right. And I think Nick sort of taking that and saying, I'm setting an example, you know, I need to be accountable for the things I did wrong. I think it's good. Uh-oh.
I'm trying to see how I want to answer this.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's a bad thing. Let me just get that out of the way. Nobody has to be nervous. I think it's a good thing, honestly. I'm just looking at the impact of it, the calls for it, and whether or not it's going to be effective for him moving forward.
Mm.
I certainly hope it is. We won't know until he gets in the game. You know, the one thing that Nick has to get comfortable with is the role that he's in and not having control mm-hmm. of everything.
Yep.
Because some of this is frustration because I don't have control. I'm not as involved, right? So some of it is let me go after the referee to show how much I care and this and that and the other. And really, this isn't basketball. So as a coach, you shouldn't be behaving like this on a sideline of an NFL game. Like you're throwing temper tantrums up and down the sideline about everything. You're snatching your headphones off. You're clearly using F-bombs and this and that and other. You're pointing at the other side of the field at players and all this other stuff. Like that stuff doesn't do anything to help you win. And while it was okay when you were winning 2 years ago, you see how it can rub people the wrong way, including your own players when things aren't going well. They need you to be the cerebral one with answers, not the one that can't control his emotions on the sideline and is going haywire about how much you care and then telling us it's in your Italian blood. Like that's not going to get it. It's actually embarrassing for an owner like Jeffrey Lurie to have his coach who had employed one of the greatest head coaches for years and didn't act like this on the sideline.
Didn't have a temper tantrum on the sideline.
Did not do this stuff on the sideline for a decade and a half. So that stuff, when you don't win, people are like, oh, you know what? That's out. When you go 13-4 and you get to the Super Bowl, oh, we can deal with it. You know, it's just coach showing how much he cares. Guess what? When things aren't going well and you lose 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8 in an embarrassing fashion, we can do with all that extra stuff. Do without it. We don't need it. Players obviously didn't appreciate it. Jalen didn't appreciate it. So you can see how you're having an effect on your players with this stuff. It's something that I'm happy he's acknowledged and addressed. But we won't know until he gets in the game and there's a tough play, there's a stretch in the fourth quarter or what have you. And how does he handle that on the sideline?
I also think it's interesting to think about, okay, you're not doing that anymore. That is not what you're going to be. Well, what are you then? Right? Because he has obviously spent a good part of his career operating in a certain way. This is how I'm effective. It's part of how I'm effective. And then all of a sudden, it's like a player who has a move that always works. And all of a sudden, the defense has decided they're taking that move away. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your new move? And the great ones figure it out. Okay, you're going to take this away from me. I'm going to do this. You remember this was at the best of his career. But at one point, James Harden was so hard to guard, they started guarding him from behind, mm-hmm. like his left hand, just to try to take it away, right? Yeah. Whatever. So the question for me is not, or to a certain extent, it's can Nick Sirianni not do this anymore? Can he do this when the times get tough? The second question is, okay, if you're not doing that, have you decided what your tact is now? How are you operating? Because we don't need you to just be completely quiet and not do anything at all.
Right.
You're going to have to find a new way. Not only do you have to stop doing this, you have to find a new that. You're going to have to be effective in a new way, which is a completely separate challenge from not exploding on the sidelines. That's controlling your temper. That's one other thing. But figuring out how to be effective while not doing that is a complete other challenge for him. You know?
And I'm not saying he should never show emotion. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. He's a human. I understand the game of football is emotional. Something gets you fired up in the heat of the moment. I understand that. I'm just saying it can't be a topic in a show every week about your actions on the sideline. The idea that Big Dom has to control you. And like, we don't need to be talking about that stuff. Right? Like we don't need to be doing that. Yeah. The only reason we are talking about it is because you aren't winning football games, and this became a sideline act over there.
I remember not being here and seeing him do the thing with the Chiefs fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, you're really asking for it, aren't you? Can't you just win the game against the Chiefs and go home?
And be done with it.
Just be done. Congrats. You can point to the scoreboard and leave. You don't need that.
You know what happens and what's going to happen, Spike? See, a lot of coaches in this league, especially the ones that's been around a long time, they take every win and appreciate it. They don't do the gloating thing.
Right.
They know how hard it is to win in this league. They know how quickly things can change. You don't see coaches doing that stuff in the NFL, man.
Well, you there's just, a reason for it. The league will humble you like it did last year.
The league will humble you, man.
We are talking about the ceiling and the floor for the Eagles this year. ESPN had their ceiling at 13-4, their floor at 8-9. What do you think is more likely? 215-592-9494. We'll get back to it right after I tell you about the gold standard and buying a new Hyundai. Now, I know how we feel about gold standard. Didn't always work well here in Philadelphia. But John Ashdale, the cars are in Colonial, is going to make the gold standard mean something good. They're going to help you buy a car fast. Nobody wants to be sitting in a dealership for 3 hours waiting to buy a car. At Colonial, they've got over 200 vehicles in stock. They're going to have whatever you need, especially, you know, you're worried about price. They've got over 80 new Hyundais under 30 grand. Financing, easy, as low as 0% on select 2024s. And no matter what condition your trade's in, even if it's a piece of junk, even if it doesn't run, they're going to give you $6,500 for it, guaranteed. Every new Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Online, 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Gary in Vineland. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What up, Gary?
I was told the addition of the Rizzler is what took it to the next level for the Costco guys.
I agree.
Yeah.
My kids are saying.
Yeah, so you can tell them, I am pro Rizzler. I'm just against AJ. And look, I have nothing personal against AJ and Big Justice, but Rizzler, it's very hard not to be a Rizzler fan.
And you know what I wanted to ask you last week, but you threw me off with the shark versus the bear?
Yeah.
Did you see your girls out there throwing out the first pitch, make some money for the pets?
I did. Hawk to a girl, Haley Welch.
Oh, yeah.
So she threw out the first pitch.
Explain that one to the kids in the stadium.
Well, so, all right.
Yeah.
So we had decided we missed this, but I got to tell you, Gary. So they have Haley Welch throw out the first pitch at the Hawk to a girl at the Mets game. She is raising money for vet dogs that they give to veterans, I think, with PTSD. Mm-hmm. So everyone in New York melts down. How do I explain this to my kids? Blah, 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 blah. Let me ask you something. You go to a Phillies game, and there's five people that throw out first pitches. Your kid asking you to explain all those things? I have an answer for you. I don't know who that is, honey.
Just move on. What are we doing here?
The number of famous people that you don't want to have to explain
exactly
why they're famous, the list is...
I just don't explain it. Yeah.
It's very long.
Yeah.
I would want... There's two people in this world I need to throw out a first pitch at a Phillies game. Number one is Haley Welch, the Hawk to a girl. Oh. I would endorse it. Would love to have her in here. Number two is Jack Fritz. I think Fritz should throw out a first pitch. I think it's disgraceful that it has
that
taken
hasn't
this
happened
long.
Yet. Like, honestly, yes.
He is a great ambassador for the team, but you know who else would be a great ambassador for a team? The girl who talked about spitting on that thing. Both of them, maybe they could throw out a first pitch at the same time, but mm-hmm. I would endorse both of them.
I don't want Jack anywhere near it.
Seriously, what's the dilemma? Like, who's that daddy? I don't know, buddy.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, why did the whole Mets run this year has been fueled by meme after meme. First it was Grimace, then one of the guys on the team had some ridiculous song. So now you're complaining about who's throwing out the first pitch because you lost a couple of games? That's how you handle it, Gary. If your kid asks you, Daddy, who is that? I don't know, honey.
Yeah.
Buy her a friggin' ice cream and everything's fine.
She's moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Gary. It's a first pitch. She's not the pitcher.
Yes. Does anyone even pay attention to the first pitch unless
exactly.
You're a friend doing it?
Half the stadium's not even in there when the first pitch happens.
Yeah. When I rang the bell at the Sixers game, in my head, it was the most grand thing that could ever happen. And then you get on the court and you're like, nobody cares that I am ringing the bell except for me, my friends, and my family.
Yeah, we cared.
Yes,
we
my friends. Yes, my friends. Yes. But anyway, Gary, Eagles, close to 13 wins or 8 wins? What's more likely?
I think closer to 13. I like the additions. I like the way people are. When I was a coach, you know, you just look at these players and, you know, they're taking accountability for what they did and they're working on getting better, not just saying, it wasn't my fault.
I think that is true. I think, you know, the tough part about saying either or is you can't say, hey, I think they're an 11-win team. You have to say what is more likely to happen. I think all of those things have been positive. I think it's been a positive camp. I do think that there is literally not one thing on defense that I think is a sure thing right now. Not one thing. Not one thing. And comparing that to 2 years ago or even what a mid-pack defense looks like, you can at least usually look and say, well, we can count on this, we can count on that. But I look at the Eagles' defense, and I don't think we can count on the pass rush. I don't think we can count on the secondary. I don't think we can count on line. Now, they might all work out.
Right.
But for me to say that I know they'll be good enough, you know, so, and if the Eagles have the 24th,
I'm not even there.
Yeah, and if the Eagles have the 24th ranked defense, to me, it's tough to be a 13-win team. It could happen. It could certainly happen.
You win a lot of shootouts. You'd have to win a lot of shootouts.
Yeah, that's sort of why I think 8 is more like. I'm really fine with my 10 prediction, but if you made that 13 wins is a really, really, really good team and a really successful season.
But I think the one thing is the coach. I mean, I think he can bring this together. He's the guy that designed the scheme. You know, I think that could
Kellen Moore, you mean?
Missing cog.
Kellen Moore. Or you're talking about Sirianni. Oh, Vic Fangio.
Vic Fangio.
Yeah. So, Gary, you want to be in the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League.
Yeah.
Will you tell us why you would be a good addition?
I will solve your Yoshi problem. I have no idea. I've never met Yoshi before in my life. But I think he's a great guy and a great caller, and he would be my partner.
Oh,
solve your dilemma.
Okay, so you are offering to split the team with Yoshi as your way into the league. I will say it does show compromise and kindness, you know.
And it helps you guys out because now you don't have that dilemma of can we let Yoshi in, and then everybody else is going to be calling you up. Oh, I was in last year. How come I can't get in?
It's a good idea, Gary.
Problem solver.
All right. And a problem solver. He's putting that on the list as well. You're on the list. I'm not saying you're in the league, but I'm saying you're on the list. Now, have we had, Jack Ike, have we had co-owners of a team previously in the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League?
1 year, Chuck had a GM, so he co-owned a team, but I don't think the GM showed up for the draft.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Mark's had a GM.
Okay.
Know? So, but most likely no.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I could, if Gary wants.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea. He threw it in there. It's a creative answer and show that he's a problem solver, you know?
So. Well, I will say this.
Just like the Hawk Tua girl.
I will say this.
She did solve a problem.
Speaking of co-owners, not to discuss show business on the air, but since
uh-oh.
We're here. I don't want contestants bringing people with them.
Okay.
Leave your friends at
home.
To the
party, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we
draft.
Have to tell them.
Well, that's the thing, because when you bring people to the draft, they're not invested. They're just there creating chaos and
making noise.
Yes,
why am I talking to you?
Yes,
you're not
getting
even
into arguments with other people. Like,
well, let me ask you this though. And just to bring up something that you brought up before.
Yeah, you're not going to a gang fight. You don't need backup.
Right.
It's a fantasy football league draft at Chickies and Pete's.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we have to share the space with the midday show.
Yes. Well, and that's part of the reason why I don't want the two shows.
I'm working on that. I want them to be on the catwalk. But the whole draft can
all
be on the catwalk.
Them, yes.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Now, I am all for don't bring anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you said once that you had a league member who brought
Yes. Okay. Well, no. That's what I'm saying. We've allowed this, and it got out of hand. That's what I mean. It got out of hand.
Okay. All right.
That's what I'm saying. That was the earlier days, and last year was the tipping point for
okay.
me.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now,
I just want to keep the chaos down is all I'm doing. When you bring other people, like I said, they aren't there to draft. They're just there.
Yes, to cause ruckus.
Yes.
Jack, can we either have you tell them don't bring anyone or just make Ava do it?
No, put it like this. Since we don't control Chickies and Pete's, if they want to stay out in the other area, and wait till the draft is over with, that's fine.
Yeah, but you can't come into
our room. I don't need extra people. You know, bringing two buddies with you. And,
how about this?
Yeah, I don't need all that.
I got wristbands at home from one of our lottery parties. Maybe we give everyone who is an actual drafter a wristband. Or something.
And the big key here, you know, Ike and I, both good guys.
Yep.
Spike's, you know, in public settings, a little testy.
I can be tested.
So, like, you're dealing with a different animal.
Yes.
True.
Well,
you don't want to get on Spike's bad side.
Well, what happens, unfortunately, is even though I'm just show host guy now, you put me in a situation where I got to be, when nobody's being boss guy, I'm going to be boss guy.
That's right.
And
It's your default.
Yeah. And I can, do you remember the Spike you didn't like from the first few weeks of the show? That is, like, more similar to that guy. You don't want that. You just want, like, having fun. I'll even have a beer or something, you know, if everybody behaves.
We've always said you're just a shot and a beer guy.
Yes, that's me. This is a regular guy, you know.
Shot and a beer.
Yeah.
I like it.
Just a regular guy. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, who is the official sponsor of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Shop the home team, marks-jewelers.com. What is more likely for the Eagles, 13-4 or 8-9? Ike, what do we think the percentages are on this?
At least 80 plus 13-4.
82%.
Yeah.
13-4.
Never a doubt.
It's been a while since I got that close.
Yeah. That's all right. Everybody's
I do like the Price is Right. I can't go over.
Can't go over.
Yes.
Yeah. And you were not. So everybody's wrong, but that's fine. So the Eagles made a trade today. They got what we expect to be their third wide receiver, Jahan Dotson from the Washington Commanders. We will have our old friend, Brian Mitchell, former Eagle and co-host of B-Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. So we will find out what we have in Jahan Dotson and why, if he's so good, would the Commanders trade him in the division. We will find that out next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.